Tell you what, though, said Jackie. She's wearing your earrings.
Rose took off one and held it up by the statue's ear. Identical.
That's incredible, she said. So detailed.
She slipped the real earring into the pocket of her denim jacket and grinned. Looks like I've got a future ahead of me as an artist's model. I've always fancied that. She found it quite hard to tear herself away from her stone double. But as the doctor pointed out, if she stayed there looking at it forever, then it would never get made and they'd all be swallowed up in a terrible paradox. So she let herself be led away. They lost the doctor in the Egyptian section again, and Jackie went off to see if she could find a postcard of her stone daughter. Rose and Mickey stood together in the entrance, waiting.
So how'd you find out about it?
Asked Rose after a few moments' silence.
Not your usual haunt, this, is it?
Mickey seemed embarrassed, looking down at the floor. She opened her eyes wide.
What? Come on, tell me.
Mickey put back his shoulders, attempting a bit of bravado. Well, I've been doing this volunteer stuff, you know, kids and that. Rose laughed delightedly.
But that's brilliant.
He shrugged. Well, there's you off doing good all round the universe. Just thought I'd do a bit at home, that's all. The doctor was approaching them now.
Don't tell him, Mickey hissed.
Rose sighed, exasperated.
Yeah, because being a nice person's so uncool, isn't it?
But she couldn't help reaching up and giving Mickey a quick peck on the cheek.
You old softy.
Jackie joined them, her postcard hunt having proved unsuccessful, and the four of them made their way out into the sunshine.
Well, bye for now. Take care. Don't do anything I wouldn't,
said the doctor as they reached the bottom of the museum steps, holding out a hand to Mickey.
What, you off already? Better give me time to say hello to my only daughter before you're dragging her away again, complained Jackie, hands on hips.
We love to stay, said the doctor, insincerely, putting a hand on Rose's shoulder.
Love to, love to, love, love, love to, but I'm afraid we have a date to keep.
We have? Said Rose. Would have thought that was obvious, said the doctor. You and me are off to ancient Rome.
The TARDIS landed. Rose was now wearing an ankle-length dress in pale blue with a dark blue shawl draped over her head. The doctor wore a plain white tunic that ended at the knees, his sonic screwdriver stuck absurdly in his belt.
That's how we are in ancient Rome, said Rose. You'll get lynched if you hang round the estate dressed like that.
The doctor peered up at the skyline.
Aha! See that?
He indicated an enormous pillar with the figure of a man on top, just visible above the roofs of the tenement blocks surrounding them.
Trajan's Column. Definitely Rome.
But I don't think we've landed in the nicest part of town.
I'll say we haven't, exclaimed Rose, as a cry rang out from a nearby street.
They began running towards the sound. Three young men were crowded round an elderly bearded man. He lay on the ground, staring up in fear at the dagger that was being waved in his face.
Excuse me, gentlemen,
began the doctor, confidently striding forwards. They turned to look, and Rose took advantage of the distraction. There was a pile of clay jars in the doorway next to her, and one soon found itself hurtling towards the muggers. Soon they were racing off down the street, shards of pottery clinging to their hair and clothes.
Ha!
Rose called after them, as the doctor helped the old man to his feet.
Thank you so much, he said, weakly. Gnaeus Fabius Gracilis at your service.
You all right? Rose asked him. Did those blokes nick anything?
The man shook his head, but the effort seemed to make him lose his balance. The doctor stepped in and caught him.
Whoa!
I don't think you are all right, are you?
I must confess I feel slightly dizzy, Gracilis said.
The doctor frowned.
Really? When did you last have anything to eat?
He looked thoughtful.
You know, I have no idea. Yesterday, perhaps?
Then before you do anything else, a bite to eat and a sit-down are on the menu. But Gracilis shook his head.
No, no, no. I must continue my search.
The doctor was gentle but firm, almost as if he was a real doctor. Food and rest. And then,
well, Rose and I are fond of a good search, aren't we, Rose?
Love 'em, said Rose.
So you tell us what we're looking for, and we'll look for it with you. Deal?
Said Gracilis.
But the doctor had already grabbed his hand and shaken it.
Deal.
At a cafe, the doctor fetched a pile of fruit pastries and three cups of spiced wine, which tasted like boiled vinegar with cloves, while Rose led Gracilis to a bench.
So what are you searching for, then?
she asked. The old man took a deep breath.
My son, he said. My handsome, clever son, Optatus. He has gone missing.
And you reckon he's in Rome somewhere then? Asked Rose. Gracilis sighed.
I do not know. My family is currently residing in our country villa, but the area has been searched. I thought of Rome. You know what boys are, always far too keen on the wild ways of the city. But not a trace of him have I found.
The cafe's proprietor was listening to their conversation with interest.
Here, I know what you can do,
he suddenly interjected. Gracilis jumped from his seat.
You can help me find my son?
Well, no, said the man, but I reckon I know who can. There's this girl, see? They say she can tell the future, just from looking at the stars.
An astrologer? Asked Gracilis. Tell me, where can I find her?
As the cafe owner gave directions, the doctor and Rose got to their feet too, the doctor cramming in the last of his pastry as he made ready to leave. Gracilis turned to them.
My friends, I am truly grateful for your assistance, and would be glad to offer you hospitality in my villa if ever you happen by, but I will trespass on your goodness no longer.
You must be joking,
said the doctor. We're not going to miss an opportunity to meet a lady who can tell the future. The doctor, Rose and Gracilis made their way to the place named by the cafe owner. The door opened slightly and a narrow-eyed man peered out at them.
Well, what do you want?
The doctor smiled at him.
We'd like to see the young lady who lives here, you know, the astrologer.
The man's demeanour changed instantly as he stood back to let them in.
Ah, my pleasure, gentlemen and lady. My very great pleasure. Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Balbus, and for only the smallest of small fees you shall see the lady.
He led the way into a back room where someone was sitting huddled in a corner.
Visitors for you, Vanessa?
The figure looked up, and Rose was taken aback. She'd unconsciously expected a fair-ground gypsy type, elderly and rosy-cheeked, telling of tall, dark strangers and voyages across the sea. But this was just a girl. A thin, dark-skinned girl with haunted eyes.
Yes, master.
Rose turned to the doctor, looked quizzical.
She's a slave, he mouthed silently.
Gracilis sat down in front of the girl.
You must tell me where to find my son, he implored.
In a soft voice, she began to ask Gracilis questions about Optatus, then reached for a piece of parchment and began to work out calculations. Balba's smile got more and more forced.
Answer the gentleman, he said again, after several minutes had passed. Come on, let us have our money's worth, the doctor told him. Can't calculate the movements of the heavens in 2 minutes, you know.
The girl looked grateful and began scribbling down more sums. She was playing for time. Perhaps the doctor realised that too. He sat down opposite the girl.
I expect it's quite hard to work out something like this with so little information.
You need to find out more about the boy, Optatus.
And you need to see the place where he disappeared, I bet.
She nodded desperately.
Yes, yes, I need to see the place where he disappeared.
Well, I'm sure you're...
The doctor paused, the word distasteful.
Owner won't mind you popping along with us for a bit.
Her owner didn't seem that happy about the idea.
I'm afraid I couldn't consider, he began.
Gracilis thumped his fist on the table. Then let me buy her from you, he said.
Finally, the negotiations complete, Gracilis, the doctor and Rose left the apartment with Vanessa in tow.
Now, I think it would help us all if we went back to Gracilis' villa and examined the spot where Optatus was last seen, the doctor said. If the invitation's still open, of course.
The old man nodded eagerly.
Yes, yes, if you think that's best, he sighed. I could look in Rome for a year and never find him.
Yeah, it's not as if you've got photos of him you can hand out, said Rose without thinking. I mean, something to show people what he looks like.
Gracilis smiled sadly.
Ah, if you wish to see what my beloved child looks like, well, just wait till we arrive at the villa.
The journey was slow, and Rose thought longingly of trains and cars. Still, she supposed a donkey-drawn carriage was a lot more environmentally friendly, even if it was a long and bumpy road.